stand with me, please? I'd like to turn your attention to Genesis, the 22nd chapter. This 22nd chapter, God asked Abraham to take his only son, Isaac, up to a mountain. In fact, it's the same mountain that Jesus was crucified on, and sacrifice him there. You don't see Abraham arguing with God, pleading with him. He just did what God asked him to do. He didn't go to Sarah and say, "Sarah, here's the situation. I don't understand, but I'm going." He just got up and he left. And verse number 5, when they got to that place, it says, "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." So we find here is the first time the word worship is used in the entire Bible. And it's connected with sacrifice. It's connected with obedience. And we find it's connected with withholding back nothing from God. Worship. Worship. Lord, we ask your blessing upon this word. Allow us, God, to see the depth of it, the inspiration of it, the application of it, and we'll give you the praise. It's in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We find that here this word worship is found under the shadow of God's command to sacrifice Abraham's flesh, or his flesh and blood. When he's sacrificing his son, it's like sacrificing his own flesh. The things Abraham loved the most was his flesh and blood, or his son. It really is what worship is all about, killing our flesh and our desires to always put God first and sacrifice to him to demonstrate that we love him more than anything else in our life. And there will always be those tests to see, how much do you love me? Do you love me more than these fish, Peter? How much do you love me? More than this job? More than this house? More than this whatever? And God's testing, because he wants us to worship by sacrificing everything, including our own flesh, more than your health. Amen. Genesis 22 and 12 says, "And he said," God said, "lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest or reverence God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me." The test is, how much do you really, really love me? It is, of course, type and shadow of Jesus on that same mountain years later, giving his flesh, because he loves us so much, he was willing to sacrifice his flesh, his only begotten flesh, the shadow and type. The greatest display of worship was on Calvary, the greatest display. You see, we sacrifice because he has already sacrificed, but he sacrificed before we ever sacrificed anything. I know I approach this subject a lot in this church. I know I talk about worship a lot in this church, but I don't see anything that affects the outcome of our life more than giving God all of our praise, all of our worship, putting him first. More healings, more deliverance, more peace, more joy comes by worshiping God, especially in an adverse situation that we're in. All the results of sacrifice of our praise and our worship to God, without it, we just do not have access to the power of God, and we become a denominational church. Brother Mundy was saying tonight, as they were practicing, he had talked to an individual and told them about our church. And of course, she started listing all of the requirements that she's heard about our church, you know, the hair and the pants and all of these things. And he said, well, but there's a power and a presence in our church. You got to come. And I said, you know what, to me that is so attractive, but to the average person, they don't want to be in the power and the presence of God because they know they're not quite right. Would you turn to Psalms 111? Psalms 111 and 1. You could say 11:11. Most of you understand that when we built this church, God showed us 11:11 over and over and over again. And even after we moved into this church, you know, God was showing us 11:11 over and over again. And for years, I'm wondering, what does that mean? But I really believe, beyond a shadow of a doubt, it was all about Psalms 111 and 1. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. I believe that this church has been set aside to praise the Lord with our whole heart in uprightness. And because we're willing to praise the Lord with our whole heart and uprightness, God has blessed us. I believe our church has experienced the depth of this scripture. We have been in paralyzing services with the presence of God that we have read about in the Old Testament and the New Testament. When people praise God with their whole heart, God then manifests himself in many glorious ways because he inhabits the praise and the worship of his people. Not the programs, not just our worship, but who we have become. You can make the same noise and not live the same life and not get the same results. The Hebrew word for praise in the scripture is the word halah. It is the most frequently used Hebrew word for praise. It's used 239 times in the Old Testament. It means to make a show, to boast, to be clamorously foolish, to rave, to celebrate, to get excited about God, you see. God wants us to get the picture of how he wants us to worship him, not just under our breath, not just fold our hands and bow our heads and do absolutely nothing. We don't show our excitement for a lot of things, but when it comes to God, when it comes to worshiping God, it is a mandate from God in order to release the power and the presence of God in our midst. He also makes it clear as to who he wants to praise him. And it said in Psalms 150 and 6, let everything that hath breath praise Hallah, the Lord. Praise or Hallah ye the Lord. And that means, of course, get clamorous. Amen. Get excited, you know. See, I really like you, you know. You're not going to get many dates that way, folks. You know, you're not going to make a whole lot of friends if you're not some kind of emotional with people that are around you. You know, I see new babies coming into our congregation and all of these, you know, it's why not with God? You're not afraid to make yourself a fool in front of a little baby. How much more in front of a great God? Hallelujah. If you have breath and God wants you to make a show, become a fool, rave and celebrate in his presence, because that's why Calvary was there. Worship, the first place. Now, when you combine the Hebrew word for praise, Hallah, with the Hebrew word for Jehovah, God, which is a self-existent one, eternal, Jesus, the Alpha and Omega, it's Jehovah. We get the greatest of all words for praise in the Bible when you combine the two words to hallelujah. And so, in other words, when we use the word hallelujah, we are saying, let's rave and make a show for Jesus. Amen. That's really what it's saying. The greatest word for praise is making a show and a rave, an excitement, a clamor for Jehovah or Jesus. And so we find ourselves saying, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's really demonstrating exactly what praise is all about. Let's worship him with our whole heart and be clamorous. Hallelujah! It is the word to be used in the first song service in heaven. That's what it is. So if you'll turn to Revelation, the 19th chapter. Verse number one says, and after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. Okay, this is going to, I'm going to be there actually. Saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen, alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye servants and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent, or all-powerful, reigneth. Hallelujah. That's what we're going to be doing when we get in. You might as well practice. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The next most frequently used Hebrew word in the Bible for praise is yada. The word appears 106 times in the Old Testament. The word yada in the Bible means to worship with extended hands, to throw out the hands and give thanks. Our hands play an important part of most every emotion and every feeling that we have, because most of our feelings are in our hands. Our God raised his hands for each and every one of us, and he was nailed to the cross in a position of worship or love for us. Now, an angry man will clench his fist. A guilty man will try to hide his hands. A worried man will wring his hands. An accusing man will point his finger. But a praising man will throw up his hands and give God all of the praise. Amen. Yada. Now, I love hallelujah praise. To get a little beside myself and foolish in raving about our God, but I have to have some yada praise as well. It's part of the expression, my feelings with the part of my body that touches the most. In addition to the 106 actual occurrences of yada in the scripture, there are specific scriptures that point out the importance of raising our hands. You know, I don't want to digress. I don't want to go backwards. I came into the church raising my hands and worshiping God, and when I leave the church, I'm still going to be raising my hands and worshiping my God and getting excited about my God, you see? I don't ever want to get to the place where we call each other by their first name instead of brother and sister. You know, because what we're demonstrating is that we are a family of God. I never want to get to the place where I stop saying praise the Lord to people because it might be awkward for somebody. No, no, we're different than anybody else. We are a culture of people that worship God because we recognize how great our God really is. So Psalm 63:4 says, thus will I bless Thee while I live, I will lift up my hands in thy name. So we bless God by lifting up our hands in his name. Psalms 134 and 2 says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord, or yada praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalms 141 and 2 says, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Hallelujah. I don't ever want to come to church and then leave without at least lifting up my hands to God. You see, I can tell you tonight I'm tired. I really am. But it's not about me. It's about thee. It's about giving him what he wants. So if we want our prayers answered, we need to combine them with the worship. Hallelujah praise, and with extended hands, yada praise. It's all a part of our emotion towards God. Paul said in 1 Timothy 2 and 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. So why does God want us to raise our hands to him? Have you ever raised your hands and say, hey, how you doing, you know, or point to somebody? God's saying, will you recognize me? Will you recognize that I'm here? We didn't just gather together because we do this on Wednesday nights to just gather together. We come with a purpose, and the purpose is to give him attention, to give him praise, to worship him. We all do that. We all do that with friends. Amen. I don't know what's the matter. I saw them, but they never said hi or anything to me. Is there something wrong? You know? We salute God. It's a sign of welcome, respect. It's a sign of honor. To raise our hands in worship is to follow God's prescribed way of saluting his sovereignty and his majesty. Revelation 4 and 11 says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor. Whether we are all alone or whether we're in corporate worship, this isn't something that we just do in church services. We can do this at home. Try this at home. It works, you know. Try it at work. Maybe you can't say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, at work, but you could just raise your hands and maybe they'll think you're swatting flies or something, but God knows what it's all about, you see. Hallelujah. The universal sign for surrender is hands up. You know, I don't care if you speak English or Polish or German or whatever. You know, you get in a situation where you want to surrender, you're putting your hands up. And God's saying, are you willing? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God is looking for people who will surrender to him completely. And, you know, I've used this illustration before, but I think I was in the church for, maybe a week. I was already raising my hands. I was watching everybody else, and there was something about it that caused the presence of God, you know, to fall down on me. But I remember watching a visitor come in with his wife. He hadn't been in church. She'd been in church. And I watched him just watch people in the congregation. And he was seeing people raise their hands all over. And then he went like this. He just wanted to know if there was something special about raising his hands. And there is. We're demonstrating to God something. Hallelujah. Amen. It really indicates what it says in Romans 12 and 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, you moms, you've got that little toddler, 2 years old, 3 years old, 22 years old, and they go like this, you know? Well, what do you think they want? They want you to pick them up, you know? And sometimes they're getting a little big to pick up, you know? But what happens when we, Jesus, wouldn't it be great that he just picked us up, took us out of our dilemma, took us out of our problems, our situations, wrapped his arms around us? Wouldn't you sometimes like God to just hold you for a little while? And that's what those kids are saying. Would you give me a little comfort, you know? Yada praise. We'll do that. There should be more raising of our hands during the preaching of the word. Amen. I find myself raising my hands at great points in the preaching, and this is very biblical. It doesn't matter if the preacher sees you or not, because it's not for the preacher, it's for the one we're preaching about, you see? Hallelujah. I still remember, and I'm sure I've said this before, in 1980 we went to Israel for a global conference, and there was a young black man there from Ethiopia, and every time there was a great point in the preaching, he would get up and dance and lift up his hands, and it would revive the entire church service. It was so exciting, because what he was saying is, thank you, Jesus, for that point. Thank you for the revelation. Thank you for how it affects my life. Amen. You know, I see little excerpts on the internet from time to time of all of these people who are at rock concerts and all of these things, and they're all raising their hands, you know. They're all surrendering to the music. They're all surrendering to the spirit of what is going on there. Now, if they can get that excited about something, that won't give them a... In Nehemiah 8 and 6, it says, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all of the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands. So we find in the Old Testament they were lifting up their hands because of the word of God. In 2 Chronicles 20 is the dramatic story of Jehoshaphat's victory over the Moabites and the Ammonites. And they were so afraid because they were outnumbered. They were outstrength. They had very little chance of winning this battle. But after waiting upon the Lord, the people received a clear battle plan from God. They were to march into battle with the choir in front of all of the soldiers, singing as loud as they could. As they marched, the singers were to sing a special song. And here's the song. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. It is interesting to note that the word praise here is the word yada. So in other words, all of the singers were in front of the army, and they were all singing a praise song, and they were all walking with their hands up in the air, worshiping God. It's the only way it could be, because it wasn't just the generic praise, oh, praise the Lord. It was a specific praise that God has said. What a sight that must have been. An army marching to do battle, singing and praising God with their hands raised to God. And oh, by the way, they got total victory. And I wonder sometimes if we don't surrender our victory by not putting up our hands and asking God to bless. Their enemies turned on themselves and destroyed each other. It makes me want to just raise my hands all the time, except when I'm driving, you know. Praise is a powerful force. It releases our faith to God, which releases God's power in order to help us. And I guess that's why I major so much in worship. But I hear evangelist after evangelist, missionary after missionary, pastor after pastor come in and say, there is just something special about this church because of the genuine worship. I talked to a man Tuesday. I played tennis with him. And so I said to him, so what church do you go to? And he told me the church that he went to, and I said, that used to be a Pentecostal church. And he said, I know it was. In fact, I went there when it was a Pentecostal church. And I said, so why did you stop? He said, because the pastor preached accept the Lord as your Savior from the pulpit, but then later took us back in a room and said, now you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. See, he didn't think he could sell that kind of message from the pulpit, but in private, he was willing to say, these are the things that you need to do. And so we can't be ashamed of our doctrine, but we can't be ashamed of our worship and who we are. Why are we Pentecostals? Why? Is it because of Acts 2 and 38? Is it because we know that we need to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall be filled with the Holy Ghost? Well, the phrase Pentecost is all about an experience that you've had. The reason we're Pentecostal is because we have that Pentecostal experience. We experience the same thing they did in the upper room. But this is not a one-time situation. This isn't just a week of honeymoon and then the rest of it is all duty. It's all about continuing the honeymoon with our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And then all the gifts keep coming and coming and coming. I love her so much. Here. More for you. I want to give you life and life more abundantly, you see. But if after a week or so, or a month or so, or a year or so, or after we get to the place where Pentecost, then God stops giving us the gifts. And the joy isn't there anymore. It's not joy unspeakable and full of glory anymore, because we've withdrawn our worship from the one who died on the cross so that word could be used and exploited, if you will, in the church of the living God. Hallelujah. Don't wait for the right mood. Don't wait for the right music. Don't wait for the right special. Don't wait for the right time in your life. Praise him, because it is the battle plan that he has given you in order to give you the victory in every situation. I'm sorry, I'm sick. I'm sorry, I lost my job. I'm sorry, I have some difficulty with some people. They're coming after me. They're suing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And then as we march into his presence with all of the hallelujahs and the yada praise, God's saying, I'll take this one. I'll get this one. You just, if you could just keep praising me. It doesn't get any better than that. Hallelujah. You know what I like about this Bible is that you can get all of these instructions and then you can put them in action. Amen. Glory to God. It's not like, well, yeah, they used to do this 2,000 years ago. Man, someday this church could be. No. Today is the day. Today is the day. Glory to God. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Anybody need a review? Let's try it. Hallelujah.
Glory to God, glory to God. Now,